This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, March 4th, 2010.
Oh, really?
It is now 4:46. The Student Assembly Meeting will now come to order. Will you please call Alfred?
He's coming late. Unexcused.
No, excuse.
What? Unexcused.
Are we going this way?
Unexcused.
Who? Lucella's not here. Lucella.
Here.
Excuse. But so I just asked for connection.
You here? Ralph.
Yeah.
Here. Nikki's coming away.
So now we're here. Unexcused.
Okay, we don't have minutes from last week, so we'll move on to open microphone. If Ray or the distinguished gentleman over here have anything to say to the assembly that is not on the agenda, please step forward. Okay. Please introduce yourself and your year, please. Yeah, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Representative Smith?
That was also brought to the residential students' members on sometime last week. And they applied with RHD, and they actually are already in the process of doing a resolution about that, drafting a resolution about that, and also for students with disabilities, because there was a young lady from Boss, I believe, that was forced into the cab.
Yeah, if the RSC is planning to draft something, maybe a joint initiative with the Res Life even would be nice. I don't know if you should propose that.
Yeah, they plan to bring it to the
I'm sorry?
I said they plan to bring it to the Res Life committee when they finish with all the information and investigation and all that.
Great. Any other questions or comments? All right, thanks, sir.
Open mic.
Does anyone else have any comments to make to the assembly? Okay, great. Moving on to announcements and reports, we have Academic Honor Code by VP Basil and Parliament Danko.
Yeah, so Alex and I presented, I'll let him talk about his thing, to the AIHB Academic Integrity Hearing Board chairs last Friday during the snowball fight, unfortunately. I talked a lot about honor code and how essentially to sort of move forward with what I've been wanting to do. At this point, I am going to draft an honor statement that they can then commit to their heart's content. I'm going to get a due date essentially on that, and I'll get back to people with a time we'll hopefully get together. And if you want to help me out, I'd appreciate that. Thanks.
I guess I'll move on to item number 2 under announcements, which is the Student Judicial Council. So last semester, as you know, you approved a resolution supporting the creation of the Student Judicial Council. This semester, the GPSA similarly unanimously approved a resolution supporting the creation of the council. I've been in contact with Chris, with the AHB chairs, members of the UHRB, Syracuse Board, and the Greek Judicial Board, and we're going to be holding an organizing meeting sometime, not next week, but the week after that. We have drafted bylaws, and Travis Gaskar has agreed to be the advisor for the group. So hopefully that organization can be up and running by the end of the semester and provide benefits to all the students and the judicial board. Thank you.
Have an AAP update, Representative Smith.
Okay. So, good news. Dean Harmon did agree to hold an information session on the upcoming Monday on the page about the AAP event. But it will be held in Greek City. Not exactly sure the rooms just yet. But it will be at 6 o'clock from 6 to 7. I encourage all of you to come out, especially since I mentioned a lot of different things, but the plan we propose is actually draw on particular majors, pulling other majors from other colleges. So it is kind of pertinent to you because it's going to affect your own budget situation. Also, the Dean Student Council did meet, and they are currently given a task force assigned to create the AAP 111, which would be a new class that would be required by all for all majorities to take. That would essentially link all three of the current departments together. If by it is yet to be announced, you know, how would you just take the AAP or the AAP plus go through and incorporate the other new majors as well. So the task force has been determined to do that. And also the Hartzell Gallery, there's been an issue with not allowing student work to be showcased unless because there is a certain standard that the dean wants to be upheld. So, you know, once they put on predominantly professional work and students have been a minor outcry from the students, so that a task force is also going to do that. So we'll be addressing the issue.
Any questions, Representative Smith?
Yeah, the task forces, are these student task force or administrative task forces?
Right. For right now, we've assigned students for the AAP 111, but they will be consulted. Two of them are on the curriculum committee that we already will be still in the faculty, so they'll have the faculty opinion and get input from the faculty. For the Hartzell situation, it's actually a couple of more graduate students in there because their work is work that's more effective. So it's predominantly more than the graduate students thus far, but we're hoping to get more graduate students in there.
If there's some sort of announcements blurb for this meeting on Monday, send it to Vince and he can disseminate it.
And did I actually forward it to all of the presenters?
Yeah, all right, great. Skipping the strategic planning update, we have a Res Life update by Representative Rao.
So the Res Life Committee had a brief meeting yesterday just to appoint two students finally to the Ujima Screen Committee. And their names are Rosalind Usher and Felicia Pierre Lewis. So
great.
Finally, we brought that to fruition.
I mistimed it. We have an Environmental Committee update by Representative Reverett.
The Environmental Committee is working on a few initiatives right now. Piggybacking off of last semester, Joey Bloomfield is starting up the first the
lights out, the lights out position. We're doing the first actual whatever. We're putting that in place this Friday.
So when you say you're putting it in place, are students going to go around? When are you planning to make your rounds? What time are you planning to make your rounds?
I don't know specifically. It hasn't sent out the email to our committee yet.
When you find out the times, also send it over. That's fine. Just send it over to the listserv, so if any interested SA members want to join you in turning out lights, that'll be good. Women's Issues Update, Representative Brass.
Okay, so basically going off everything I've been saying all semester, April 10th and 11th, we secured the dates outside the library and Balch Arch to hand out our blue light lollipops and bookmarks from CEPD telling them about the blue light escort service. I'll set up a Google table when we get closer to time for SA members to come table with me in both places. We're also going to have blue light escorts and students that work for CEPD come to talk to students. On another note, I'm also part of Cornell Information and Visitor Relations, and they're doing this new thing called I Am Cornell. And basically what you do is you take a piece of paper and you say why you are Cornell and like what's so special about you to Cornell. So basically it's on a Flickr account. They have people that are doing Teach for America, and they have people in Iraq saying why they love Cornell and why they're a Cornell alum. And Nikki and I were talking, and we thought it'd be a great thing for the student assembly to do. So hopefully next week everyone can look spiffy, and we'll take a picture and send it to the Flickr account, and hopefully it will be like start to be like a math thing.
Great.
Yeah, I'll send the thing through our listserv, so look out for that.
Do we have a transfers committee update for Sam Moreno? Scott.
Yeah, I just wanted to commend you on, you've been on the SA just a couple of weeks and you've made a lot of progress already, so thanks a lot for that. And if you need any help from the exec committee in sort of implementing that or getting to the next steps, just let us know. But great, great work so far.
JFOC update, Representative Akintawa. Any questions?
Wait. Yeah. So it's gonna. When is this starting?
It should be. It's not like a lab.
JAMIC update, VP Kumar.
So we had our first meeting on Monday. So there were four major issues that we talked about. The first was the bias-related incident protocol that we've been trying to look at all semester, and I think Darren Jones and I are meeting with Dean Hubble tomorrow to sort of get an idea of what the administration is doing to examine the program. The second was there were a lot of student concerns about the university's commitment to diversity in the faculty ranks. So, you know, we're sort of in the information gathering stage, but one of the hopes for JAMIC is to sort of be a forum for student concerns, and this was a major student concern, so we'll hopefully move forward on that. The third was, we just got an update about the program house review process. I think all of you folks got an email about the program house external review team coming to Cornell, I think, last Wednesday. And, you know, the campus life was great about trying to advertise that to the student community. And I think we had a pretty good turnout. I think we also got a review, update about the internal review team, which I think Ray Mensa sits on, as well as a couple other people from the Res Life Committee. So those were the three major issues. There was a fourth issue that I'm forgetting right now, but I'll update you as soon as I remember. I'm sorry? Oh, that's right, yeah, OMEA restructuring. We just sort of got an update. I think there was a couple of questions about how OMEA will look in the future, especially after the strategic planning process, but even the short term.
Do you want to...
So the other thing that I think John Rao and I have been working on, as the Res Life Committee, has been sort of pushing this idea of getting more transparency about the housing lottery process. So we had scheduled Barb Romano to come and speak to the SA meeting last week, but obviously there's a snowstorm, there's a lot of confusion. But they were, you know, able to email us a breakdown, a two-page breakdown of exactly like how many rooms are available by area, so college town area, West Campus House System, program houses, that sort of thing. And they also presented us data from 2009, which the Student Assembly had requested as part of the resolution that we passed, I think, in November, Resolution 13. So there are a couple of interesting trends here. And I'll try to break it down. I'll try to make copies and give it to you. It was requested that this isn't disseminated too widely, but I'll try to give a breakdown to you at the next meeting. But there are certainly a couple of interesting trends, especially in terms of how, because right now the seniors go first in the housing lottery process, and hopefully this will be the last year that happens. So campus has started asking guests in terms of their allocations for that, which creates a lot of confusion both for them and for students. So I'll give a better update, but basically right now there's about 60% of the total beds are reserved for rising sophomores, about 25% for rising juniors, and 15% for rising seniors. We'll keep an eye on that.
Any questions? I do have one.
Sure.
Why wouldn't we be allowed to disseminate this information widely? Don't we, as the SA, have the right to request any information from campus?
Yeah, I don't know if we don't have it right, so we'll be following up. I think John and I will be following up with Campus Life about that.
Okay. Thanks. We'll briefly introduce SAFC appeals, VP Baker.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about these at 5:45 after Provost Fox and Professor Lawler come and talk about reimagining. But I'd just like to quickly introduce this because we have a few minutes right now. Please take this time to look over essentially the decisions so that you're ready for questions when we get to it. So basically this is pages 2, 3, and 4. The whereas clauses are the rationales of the Appropriations Committee for each group that appealed to the SAFC. And then in the be it resolved clause, that just kind of lists the summary of all the decisions the Appropriations Committee made. There was a pretty even, I guess you could say, breakdown between groups that were granted appeals and groups that were denied appeals. I have all the budget packets for all the groups with me, so if you have any more questions on any of the groups right now, I can start to answer those. There will be group members here at 5:45 from COLA, Dillman Hill, and what else did I say? And One Cornell to talk about their decisions at that time. idea.
For the groups that the SAFC decided that it shall not fund, can you explain how they will have an opportunity to apply for a special projects funding? Is that, would that be an option for them?
We're still from SAFC? Or
from yeah, from SAFC.
We're still working on that.
It depends on the it depends on the case.
Okay.
Because the SAFC, the special projects funding only if the group wasn't able to have all their information in on the deadline. So for some of these groups that just didn't turn in parts of their application, other problems, et cetera, not all of them would qualify for special for eligibility for special project funding. One group, Phoenix Society, if you guys look at that appeal, they requested construction materials. The Phoenix Society is the group that builds the Phoenix for Dragon Day, the Engineers Phoenix. They requested construction materials from the SAFC. They were denied on the grounds that construction materials aren't durable. The Appropriations Committee concurred with that decision, but the consensus was also that, you know, given sort of the cause, the Appropriations Committee would consider it if the Phoenix Society applied directly for SA special projects funding. Basically, yeah, I mean, special projects funding is a possibility for some of these groups. Yeah.
Could you explain the standard that the Appropriations Committee uses versus the standard that the Student Assembly will use?
Yeah, so the Appropriations Committee judges whether or not the SAFC applied their rules reasonably to each group. As you can see in some instances, for some of the appeals that were granted, the rules kind of didn't cover the situation. So, for example, Institute of Biological Engineers submitted a Duffield Hall registration form instead of the usual UUP, and so they were denied by the SAFC under the grounds they didn't have documentation. The Appropriations Committee judged that was valid documentation they provided. So that's sort of one example of a time where the SAFC, their rules kind of didn't apply to the situation. The committee judged that that wasn't a reasonable application of rules. There are no rules governing what the SA can or can't do in regards to funding. So it's kind of a field day. I wouldn't encourage that, but there are no rules.
Okay. Any other questions? I see a few student leaders from Alternative Spring Break, as well as Joyce Muchin from the Public Service Center. Did you folks have anything to say? The SAFC did provide you funding for your trips or conferences. All right, we'll move on to resolutions then. Resolution 52, we have a R49 announcement by BPN.
Yeah, guys, just so you know, the committee that we passed last meeting, the R49 for to advise the Connectivities Office. We're in the process of filling it, or I'm in the process of filling it. Please shoot me an email if you want to be part of it. I know I already sent some of you guys an email, but if you're interested, definitely let me know. We need to move forward on this issue, so hopefully I want to try and schedule a meeting tomorrow. If not, we're going to try and schedule a meeting on Sunday. Kat Holmes, I spoke with her yesterday, she's on board, and hopefully we're trying to resolve this issue before spring break. My goal is not to meet more than, I mean, we meet as many times as we need, but I think three times as a committee should be enough to settle this issue. So definitely shoot me an email if you want to be part of the task force. Thanks.
Resolution 54, removing the charter test for SA members. Are you ready with that? Phone the same cone and DP, come on. I guess you can walk us through it briefly before we vote on it. Walk us through it. walk us through it briefly before we vote on it. We'll continue this conversation after the presentation by Provost Fox and Professor Long. All right, yeah. Welcome, Provost Fox and Professor Lawley. Please take your seats.
I don't know if you want to start. No.
Say again? Okay. Do we have technical difficulties?
We're beginning.
Okay. Maybe it can be of use.
Do you need the verification to start with that?
Okay. Until 5:45? 5:45. If you do feel comfortable starting without it, yeah.
So we want you to know what to be aware of in the document.
And as you'll hear from Professor Lawler in a few moments, there is a version on the web under our strategic plan link, but there will be a whole new version that is about three times longer than some of these pages that will be on the web a week from Monday, so about a week and a half now. I have a version right now. So that will be available, and that leads me to the second point, and that is that we want you to review your input. We want you to look, if you haven't read the present version, then we would encourage you to read the new version, if that will be up soon. And we'll use the month of March, this month, to look at this. We're going around all kinds of groups. We just came from the vet school, all the vet faculty were there getting their certificate, and we welcome that. What we'll do is Mr. Lawler will present the PowerPoint, and then we'll open up to comments. So we've done 23 of these. And ignoring the law school, the Brown Act yesterday, ignoring the Brown Act yesterday, we had 22, we had 5. So they show up on my compliment. Focus on and more effective investment in the strength of the colleges
this goes back to the whenever I'm thinking of using the gym, how do you take advantage of those things that are out there in the college, create more connections among them, create more collaboration across the boundaries, which also creates more opportunities to use the students across the classroom as well. Diversity and inclusion, this is a big piece as well in the plan. And our strategy is recommend that we set explicit targets and we hold ourselves accountable for achieving those targets and improve processes to accomplish those targets. The last and greatest public engagement is the outreach mission. The term public engagement, as a way to think about the outreach team, it comes from the federal court of the city university of the children. The basic idea is to think of outreach as broadening public engagement. See that it's not having something to do with the contract process, but something that's extended across the campus. And in that context, make public engagement or opportunity for it a more ethical part of our student experience right now. It's a way to take advantage of some of the strength of Cornell and its history as a place that interweaves liberal and practical education. Which leads to an aspiration to participate in the plan. It has two components to become a top 10 research university in the nation and world, and also a model university for interviewing liberal education and fundamental knowledge of practical education and impact on society and the world. You can see how that connects back to the education piece and also the Cornell University. Feedback, you send it to an email. There are a couple of ways we're working to do that on posted on March 15th on the web. And if you'd like to comment and feedback, and
should we open up a Q&A?
Sure.
And it's not just questions, but I really do want your input, your criticism.
You'll get it all. We're bad desert.
Thank you both for presenting in front of us today. So I guess I'll provide a comment. I do want to compliment you on the focus on creating on Cornell's singular unit and creating more cohesion between departments and between schools. Now I was wondering if you could go into how far you can envision that. Well, for example, will people in the IR school in the future maybe get a double major or maybe or will a person in the IR school that we need to implement and create a new budget model, but it There is also a piece to this where we are working, you all may remember that we had 20 task force reports back a year ago when we started working on it. Mm-hmm. And I should just say, just before the holiday in December, and my view of those 20 task force reports, and one of the statements I made was that we would work on the first year experience, not just students being in those campuses, but actually enhancing the educational experience for the first year students. Of course, it's taught by faculty, and faculty involved more in the first year. So there are a lot of things that we'll work on this next year. We haven't figured all of that, so suggestions like yours would be, I think, very helpful.
I would just pick up on one of the last thing that Bill was made. We do in the plan recommend enhancing the shared education strategy of Cornell students across colleges. We don't say exactly how to do that, but there is a process that is starting to look at that was coming out of the Bill Resource. In the case of your specific question about subjugation, we don't say government promote more or allow more government. It's people who do say, maybe we should not, and I'll take that suggestion back to the what we say right now is that there should be a review or assessment of the academic justification for any outsourcing to investment institutions that is across colleges. And that would also imply to me the prospect of putting together major minor across colleges as well. Maybe we haven't said that explicitly, maybe we should be more interested about it.
What does that mean?
Hi again, I'm Wilson Kelly. I just wanted to touch on two highlights that were presented today. One of regards to the culture and public teaching, and the second one in regards to the way that public engagement and the recognition. And so the subpoint under the culture and public teaching was the reward and recognition. And again, from someone who has really tried to advocate for additional services and courses on campus, I think the fear that many professors have is that it's difficult to be rewarded in that sense or recognized for certain kind of courses. And, you know, as an research institution, you know, there are always for more professors to bring out these publications and research type products. So, how are those two highlights going to be in line with one another? Are these recognitions going to be going to go to certain types of courses as well?
We certainly think those two things connect. And so if you enhance the reward and the recognition for teaching, and at the same time want to encourage students to engage in service learning and use those sort of or international activities as opposed to the education, then that's important. You want faculty to be more involved in like all of the things that you say, all three of those things.
What I like about this idea of focusing on faculty and research is that what it also says is that energy gets pushed out into the education program, which should, even in the public engagement service, that faculty scholarship should be tied to our global impact. Faculty scholarship should be tied to excellence in teaching, not sort of separate competing missions. And even in the service learning opportunities that faculty will take their research, couple that with students, and put them at the impact in the community. That is the sort of a sweet spot there where you can do all three at the same time. And it's then you're the students that are benefiting from being in a full research university. I think it also means that there should be more opportunities for students to partner with faculty in their research.
And if at any point anyone from the audience has any questions, please just raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Representative Brockman.
Thanks again for coming. I have a few concerns about reimagining Cornell. I'm just going to say them all.
I understand 25.
two main concerns I'll mention as a suggestion. The first is that I know we're going from 30,000 vendors. The aim is to go from 30,000 vendors down to 2,000. So 15 times more efficiency. And I'm wondering how many local vendors, if we have any knowledge of this, will get wiped out as a result of that, and what kind of information can survive. So that's the first. Also, in terms of streamlining tuition, I also understand that the provost's office might have a tax on this streamlined tuition. So we're talking millions and millions of dollars in pretty much your office's hands alone. So I'm wondering, I think that's autocratic. And so I'm wondering if there will be an advisory board from hopefully elected representatives from every college faculty, and if they can have a say in doling out those millions upon millions of dollars.
So I just wanted to support that. So the first question is about procurement and the vendors. Let me do just a little bit of hunting on that, and let me give you the context. And I have a suggestion. So the context is that there is a lot of work that's in parallel to what Mr. Lala is doing that has to do with us trying to balance our budget. And as you all probably know, we have almost a $70 million deficit this year. That is, so we're spending about $70 million more than we have as an income. And we're using borrowing money to do that. And if we don't move any taking our action, we could actually go to $35 million next year. So one of the big steps we're taking is to manage all our purchases. We just don't manage it. We think we could save $10 to $10 million. It has two risks. One risk is that we'll be too prescriptive as in what people can buy or pay the level of the university. But the other is the one that you can apply, and that is that we want to do some damage in the community with local suppliers. And we're trying to avoid both of those. So my understanding, and I'm not in charge of that, is the chief financial officer joined Stefano, and the part I'm coming on is be sure you reach out to her. She and the person whose name, the person managing the team is Tom Romance, just like Romance already. Tom Romance is managing this. I know that they have very specifically, purposely, are working hard to, they've actually had meetings with the community about this. It is an issue. It actually could be the community vendors might win the process, but we'll have to do it carefully. Not to be competitive in the practice, because we can't, subsidize the tuition dollars of the local vendors. The second question is about the autocratic proposal. That's me. So people should know that currently the provost controls almost all of the $2 billion in budget. Not completely, that's a little overstated. I know I'm being videotaped, so be careful. But for example, if you get $200 million from the state of New York, I decide where that goes. It could go all to my alarm, to law school, or go to vet med, where we just came from. And it really is an autocratic process. We are going to do something that's different in terms of the network. It's quite public where all the sources of revenues are coming from and where all the revenues are going. So we've never done that before. Even as mobile, when I spend money now, I actually don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if it's your tuition dollar. I don't know if it's a gift. I don't know. So we're going to change all that. We haven't decided yet, and that's what you're asking. Is it just going to be the provost, as I did last year, decide how things can be allocated, or are there going to be new people with it? But I think we should be able to get it figure out how to do that. I am accountable for the budget, so it likely won't be a vote, because, the deeds will go for their colleges, but it will, we really do need input, and for my perspective, we're transparency, we really do. So, the part about the tax is it turns out we're always having a tax. It's just that nobody knew about it. They didn't know because they didn't know where the money was going. So now we're going to make a public. So what the tax is. It may very well be that we don't tax at all the undergraduate tuition, but we tax the graduate tuition. We haven't decided that for sure. And you should know that a tax doesn't mean that I get to spend it on things that I like. It really means that money then goes back out
in some way. And so I think you're asking who's going to decide and how are they going to decide where the money goes. If you actually do want the provost to have some money, you don't want it all to go to the colleges, otherwise you won't have a budget, except for student fees. You know, there'll be all kinds of bad things that will happen if we didn't have some money, simply we would close down from that and then there's a bunch of stuff here. So you want me to have some money.
That's good to know. Liaison Rotolov.
Yeah, thank you very much for speaking to us. I guess just on along this line of communication, I was wondering if there was ever thought of putting students on the Strategic Planning Advisory Council. And I think especially now that, you know, we see a lot of these other universities where they have like the Day of Action today, where, you know, in California there were a lot of students expressing concern over the budget issues and all that stuff. And I think, you know, these discussions are extremely productive, but would it be possible to have, you know, student representation in that manner?
So it's a great question. Remember that this group, this process that Professor Waller has created is very timely. It's going to be done all over, and he gets to go back to his day job. And that will occur soon. So there are about 7 people working with him on this process, and a number of them are students, but they're in the subgroups. current group, I did something, and I'm the one that's responsible, is I decided very purposefully to not have any staff, not have any grad students, not have any undergrads on that core group of eight faculty. So there are eight faculty, Professor Law is one of them, that are sort of the keepers of the file, but then they're taking input from these other 60-some individuals, including students on education, on research, on public service and engagement, and what we're calling a stewardship of the institution. So students have been there, but those are just sort of time limited, and they're done. Those groups are all finished. We are doing the things essentially that are engaging students. So I've created two groups that I'm calling my own advisory groups. They have some official representation, but it's mainly just random students that I'm having pizza with. And we just had a meeting afternoon with Mr. Waller and a pizza with them. So I'm calling them focus advisory groups. One for undergraduate students, about 20 of them, and then another 20. And what I will do is just bring to those groups problems that I'm worried about. So the one that we're having, which is March something, I think, we did this in the fall as well with the same group, it will be actually on the document. But in future years, it won't be on the document. The document will be done. There'll be some other problem that I'm worried about. It may be budgeted, it may be others. So I'm trying to engage students and advice in me personally, just me personally, it's not the institution, it's my problem.
Also, a few of us were thinking if it wouldn't be a bad idea to have the individual students on each group or advisory council have a forum to exchange ideas with each other, because I know that for the majority of the students, they're not aware of each other's existence, and it's really only just a one-way avenue of communication. It's not too reciprocal. So, yeah. That would be something worth looking into. Representative Nicoletti.
For one of the groups on the list, actually, we're glad to see that the culture and support of the team is there. And I just have a few questions. I know we have a bunch of students who love our graduates here and hate our beds. So, what are you going to do to incentivize bed teachers to improve, and how are you going to reward good teachers for their research?
Those decisions and those policies will have to be developed at the college.
I didn't know this was a part of
the level. What we do say in the plan is that an assessment should be done of the department to look at how they're assessing students and how effective it is. And that we should look for good models around campus. Departments, for example, that are especially good and use those
I'll just tell you the things we did in engineering. For example, when I was a dean there,
being teaching evaluated in public. So that's a lot of difference. Number two, we decided to, and actually all the colleges have done this over the past 10 years, to really make teaching evaluation not just for tenure, but to have it evaluated every year. So as a team, I sat down with every department chair when it came time for salary increases, looked at the teaching scores, teaching ratings, questions 8 and 15 on the evaluation. How effective was the teacher, how effective was the course? And we talked about that for every person whenever we take these figures. So there's that too. But I think the most important is not the incentive, but the peer pressure. You do that, you have an expectation of an excellent culture, and that's transferred from generation to generation into a self-sustaining environment. That's my point.
So well said. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for questions today. Thank you again for coming to speak with us. Now we'll be moving on to Resolution 56, Resolution in Support of a Korean Studies Program and the Korean Language Program.
Are we going to do that, or are we just going to do it just what we design?
Well, I guess so. Just
table and body.
Yeah, go ahead. So what? Justin.
So we have one of the associations with the U.S. Association in the past couple of times trying to find information from the faculty and the research department as well as working with the different set of not the different programs. So that session can have a big way of getting overview of the faculty and just that information that we can.
About a year ago, when I started taking a class on campus in the world of Korean language, I realized that there was a career match in terms of support for the Korean language. And my big more research into Korean studies, it turns out there is a Korean study on how to pronounce. And considering one of the largest Ivy League schools, about this matter and continue here.
Great, thanks for coming. Yeah, and just a reminder, since this is still new business, to please limit your comments to questions. First time speakers list is Representative Smith.
Sponsored by a fellowship
of Zen Dance.
I had a question about one of the whereas clauses. I was talking about whereas other major universities in North America, such as the University of Hawaii, et cetera, offer 40 to 83 study classes per year. Do each one of those offer 40 to 83?
I believe so. If you give that, it's only a couple of national universities.
Okay, we'll wrap this up now because we need to get to SAFC appeals, but thanks for coming, and next week hopefully we'll be voting on it.
Now, regardless of the fact that they misread the information, Now, regardless of that fact, even if they should have spoken to someone on the ground, to compare the expectation of Arvinson to these other organizations who were requesting funding, because he lacked that information, there was not a fair comparison, there was not a fair expectation compared to other organizations. The essay should therefore remedy this unjust sort of outcome by giving him the $1,000 that we recommend with different reasons.
Okay, I'd say that's it. Now open it up to SA members. Your spare back and tell them.
Really, really quickly, oh, okay. Because of the work, it was a resolution. So some people to propose an amendment if anybody wants to change the way that we understand. So,
one question, point of information. Since this is a recommendation from a committee, does it need 2/3 to
majority? No, it's just a resolution now.
Oh, it's just a resolution now.
All right. And also, point of information, in terms of the amount, This last clause basically means we're just deciding whether the recommendation about the SSC airing or not. That's all we're deciding, right? So the dollar amount goes back to the SSC.
Yeah.
Okay. What does that back and forth?
Description of whatever we do, whether that be the project demos, whether that be the health session, and then it was the next day. There just wasn't a clear line break between the days, and that's really the only issue. But everything else was very similar.
Do you have any other comments you'd like to make?
Like, it did not get an email.
regard to doing area training or people involved, we did attend the risk assessment. We were sure that the data was perfect. I know that we were someone at all. We should have been maybe more correct. The fact of the matter is that we weren't flagging them off.
Okay. Since there's no one left on the speaker's list, I'd be happy to entertain any amendments at this time. So would anyone want to make any amendments? Did you have?
I have one more question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. So are there any motions? Oh, go. Or is that Reverend? Go.
So I guess, what were the conclusion now that we've got on the
Okay, so if there aren't any amendments at this time, we'll move on and then we'll have more general discussion at a later time. Yeah, and you can make an amendment at any time, you know, later. All right. Thanks, Adam, if you want to stick around. And this will probably be brought up again at the end when we're discussing, after we finish discussing the rest of the organization. We have Cora next, who's here?
Really the only organization that allows labor activists to
get involved on campus. I mean, if you deny us funding, it's really going to hurt, especially, like I said, the IR school, where those lay graduates are coming from. Because without Portland, they don't have any vendors to get active on campus. So I just ask that you guys, you know, take that into consideration when you decide it. Because, I mean, you can die on some poor thing. Well, you know, you missed the rules, you missed the documentation, we don't know New York City is 220 miles away.
Come on, that's pretty ridiculous. Okay. Thanks. SAFC, do you have anything? No.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure Poland is a great university, just not in the scope of our determination to say who ought to get more funds than the other organization. The way we approach it at every organization is equal and on the same footing, and as long as we follow our guidelines, we're not being one.
Great. Representative Smith.
I have a question for the SAFC. In this process, is it that these people are doing information to submit all their information, like an interim day or two or somebody who's actually going through this, and then kind of taking the meeting to advise or send something out to these students during this, to say that they're in the meeting, and then they do this, they can kind of have that meeting together in the budget, or is it just they submit it and it's either if they have it or
not. Right. So the way it works is and that's what we would do over at the university, you know, it's like, it's like, it's like, it's like, it's like, and then afterwards, is there anything we're doing on the application? That's not what we're doing, that's what we're looking at for information. And the 400 organizations come in with, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and we have no time to work on the application. That's for the health session and for the presentation. And then after that, you get all the people together and have the health session. And the budget comes in two things. And that's what we do all the way to have a dialogue with groups. So that is the time of, you know, how you find how to keep funding information, how we use the information, how to turn it in, and how to have that out.
Representative Desai. Oh, do you want 30 seconds? Sure.
First, I, just like the last one, I didn't get the email. I'm a new director for the group, and I never got the email. I know I've got the email. Probably going to disagree, but I mean, I checked my trash can, I checked my inbox, I never got an email from them, period. And, but I think this really misses the whole issue. I mean, the issue is whether or not we want to be an advocate for students on campus or not, whether SA is going to perform the role as a local student.
Okay. What's that fact?
Okay, so I have a question for you guys, but before I do, just a comment on the statement you made twice now about the SAFC being an organization that's supposed to look out for the rights of the students. I don't think you can portray them in the sense that just because they don't give you funding because you erred on your application, they're not looking out for the rights of students. I think if, you know, like Charlie said, if any organization that submits documentation on time is seen as an equal organization, and if you do, then they'll treat you equally. So just to clarify that from my point of view. Next, I had a question for the SAFC regarding the application. Did you guys get your original online application? Did they get their original online application on time? So then, if they did, according to the SAFC bylaws, limitations for new applicants under eligibility, for the purposes of this section, an organization is considered to have applied for funding if it successfully submits its application online, regardless of the funding outcome. That means as an organization, as COLA, even if you get $0 or 0 cents for funding, you are eligible to apply for special projects. So you might not, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's just the interpretation I'm getting off the reading of the bylaws. So, I mean, if nothing, you might not get the full funding you require for the semester, but they have entitled some way for you to get something. And if I'm incorrect on that, please correct me.
Right. That's not 100% correct. Right. They did receive some money. They did receive, allocation for travel. And the way in which the project is going to transform is that they have to basically just not have received enough information or adequate information prior to the budget deadline. In the sense that, you know, they just try to reach out to a speaker or to an organization at a conference, and then they didn't get enough information back in time, whether it be email or
on the
So I see what you're saying under the purpose of special project funding for to accommodate changes in circumstances, but in, I guess an error enough of, I don't know, I guess it's loose interpretation of the wording, but couldn't not getting your documentation in on time be considered a change in circumstances?
No.
Okay. Well, sorry.
That's okay. What's that about?
Okay, so being a member of the Appropriations Committee, I had a lot of trouble with these SAFC appeals because I totally understand where you guys are coming from. The SAFC, when we say that they did not err, it means that through their guidelines, we said that they did not err. However, I think it's our role as a student assembly to not only think about the SAFT guidelines, but also, which are very, very objective, and I said this last year and I'll say it again, this year, the SA's role is to be an objective,
subjective
body. Sorry about that. So I really understand the point of COLA, and if, can you just talk one more time, because I know you told the Appropriations Committee why you need the funding, because I definitely think that's important for us to hear why we should fund it.
I'll talk briefly about one quick thing that we're planning on having that we're not going to be able to have We have a person who wants to prepare a documentary on Cornell campus. You know, he's making a documentary right now on undocumented workers in Colorado as a program student. And it just so happens that we're not able to get a faculty of our work out. If we can't get any money, then it's in my fear that we're no longer going to be able to premiere a movie on campus. No, this is a big event that's going to draw a lot of people.
Yeah, so I just wanted to call to the SA's attention just that this is an organization and this is an event that needs to justify your organization, and if this doesn't happen, COLA will not be as substantial on campus as it normally is. So it's imperative for the SA to think subjectively about this and not just think about if they got all their materials and on time if they had the MassTrack documents, because it also matters as to the future of the university and the future of COLA as an organization. And that's why you guys are here today, not just because if the SA actually aired, but if the SA thinks that we should do something to help you guys out. So I just want
you can to also make an amendment if you want.
So I'd like to make an amendment to, I'll come back with an amendment.
Shall fund.
Okay.
That's basically
that we shall fund COLA.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Dissent?
No.
Dissent. All right, so we'll open it up for debate. We're now discussing this amendment. First on speaker's list is VP Andrews.
All right. Wait, what?
It's a new speaker list.
I'll call the question. No.
Go ahead.
I think that, you know, we need to seriously consider, you know, if we're going to be funding COLA, that we should also consider Dillman Hill for consistency. Last year I was a huge proponent of this. After talking with the SAFC, there are a lot of groups who missed the deadline and weren't able to get funding. That being said, this is obviously an issue we have to address as an assembly with the criteria by which groups have to, the guidelines the groups have to follow. I'm not saying don't fund COLA, and I'm not saying don't fund Dillman Hill. But I definitely think that if you're going to fund COLA now, or if we're going to fund COLA now, we should also fund Dillman Hill. And with that, I'd like to call the question.
Second. Question in the second and dissent. So we'll now vote to vote. All those in favor of voting, please raise your hands.
2, 3.
Yeah. All those against? One. And abstentions? Okay, so we'll go ahead and call to...
Could I have a point of information?
Yeah.
Could you just explain the process for applying for special projects funds through the SA?
For the SA?
Through the SA. And, sorry, another point of information. Would you consider that an... Can that be an expedited process? Does that have to take all semester?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So before we go ahead and vote on the amendment changing the words did not err to shall fund the Cornell Organization for Labor Action will give you a minute to close if you'd like to say anything. Thank you. So now, just a point of information, we're going to vote now. Is everyone clear? We're only voting on the amendment, not the entire resolution. Let's do a hand vote. All those in favor of changing the clause about COLA for to shall fund them, please raise your hand.
Just a majority, right? Raise them high.
Ten. All those against. And abstentions? Two. So by a vote of 10-7-2, the amendment passes. So as it stands now, COLA shall be funded. Well, it's just the amendment. Now we'll open it back up to debate the resolution at large. Yeah, you guys can step down or hang out. Yeah, well, actually, now we're going to go back to the original speakers list, and next up on that was VP Kumar. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, any other appeals?
No, if there are any other groups in the audience, I guess.
What? I'm not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, George.
I'm going to dive in the
Go ahead, Art. Okay. Sorry about that, Jared. I didn't realize.
A
new list if there's an amendment. Yeah, you're ready. All right, is that all?
Thank
you.
Great.
I'd say if Steve. Okay.
Thank you.
whether or not they're actually back in the
Great. Just to inform everyone, we've passed 6:30, so we're going to go ahead and extend the meeting by 15 minutes. Next on the speakers list is VP Kumar. You're ready.
So I think, you know, I think the vote was like 7-2 in committee or 5-2 in committee or something. 2-7. Okay. So there were two of us that voted to give is this on. All right. Well, there were two of us that voted to give this group funding. I still stand by that because I feel basically, again, they got the tripod, they got the case. The only reason they didn't get the camera was because the price quote wasn't included in the original application. In the appeal, I think they presented the price quote for a $300 camera. Under the SACF rules, I think there's a restriction on new information being presented to the committee that wasn't available at the time the committee made the decision. My justification was that this price quote was available at the time the committee made the commission made its recommendation. It was just not presented to the commission. So I think, you know, this is one of those areas. It's a $300 expense. Clearly they got the tripod. Clearly they got the case. I don't know what they're going to do with the tripod and the case without getting a camera. And clearly, you know, the price quote for a $300 camera was available at the time. So I think, you know, this is a reasonable thing. So I'm going to go ahead and motion to amend. So to the SAFC shall fund One Cornell Media.
All right. There's been a motion to amend One Cornell Media's clause and grant them funding, and there's been a second to their dissent. Okay. Seeing none, are there any calls for acclamation on the amendment?
Call to question.
Oh, go ahead, Ari. No, yeah, if you have a point to make, go ahead.
Well, they covered this amendment and I'm appreciating it.
Good.
I guess I feel like I need to point out that this amendment and the previous one seems to break the resolution because, in one part of the resolution, there's still a rationale that I think was very well thought out in explaining why this is the acting correctly. And then there's now going to be a sentence later on that says, but this is not the organization anyway.
So, right. So, I guess procedurally we did call it to question, but I think just to address your issue about it not following through logically, would more amenable wording be the SAFC, despite finding errors in the application, comma, shall fund to at least acknowledge that there were errors.
Can I withdraw and reclaim my time?
You can do that, but that's not the appeals process.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole point of this process is to make sure that everything is fair and that seems to be
Okay.
Yeah. Can I withdraw and reclaim?
Yeah, my go ahead.
Okay. So I guess just to address that, the issue of the wording, can we instead
you're
of saying
on.
Be it therefore resolved that the assembly adopt the following funding actions, funding decisions? Would that follow?
So all in the back.
Yeah, all the way.
Be it therefore resolved.
Yeah, so right. So it would read, be it therefore resolved that the assembly adopt the following funding decisions.
What does that mean?
So then all it's, so because your concern, I think, with the whereas clauses, say with the appropriations committee recommendations were, and then the be it therefore resolved clause says what, that we're adopting the recommendations. So if we disagree with what the appropriations committee recommends, then perhaps just changing the first line of the be it therefore resolved clause would make, will allow it to follow. I understand your question about the principle of changing this, that's fine, we can debate that, but I'm just saying, to make the resolution follow. Sure.
To make the resolution follow, you would have to delete the entire rationale, and you would have to give the FDIC a rationale that...
Well, so the rationale just simply says what the Appropriations Committee decided, but because they're a committee of the SA, I think, you know, we have the power, we have the responsibility to, you know, review
right.
their decision. And
so what V.P. Kumar is saying... By deleting the clause saying adopt the following recommendations of the Appropriations Committee, we're then having their own decision separate from the Assembly. So then that would have no bearing on what the rationale was for the abscond.
But now, we're going to fund them. How is that?
No, it's just that we have a different rationale, not necessarily the same ones that abscond. So I guess
I'll withdraw.
He withdrew his. Yeah, so now we're just debating. We'll follow this because it's you're on the second one. Representative Denver.
Alright, so,
let's
say a rational thing. My personal view is that I don't have a problem with body and students sit down on the memorize the rules and then apply and fairly they can. But my problem is that it's a one-deal shot in the university that, you know, want to enrich the student life for now, but are unable to because they are missing documentation that is oftentimes approved by someone else.
Matt, what is that
for you? It's all one shot now. Point if they're told that another action is not safe. And so I personally believe that the job of the institution
should be tasked with questions.
Does
the group
purposefully negligent in their actions? And if they weren't, does this funding benefit anybody? And if it does, and if you answer those questions in the negative person, then I don't see a problem that would undermine the idea that there's a be it therefore resolved clause. I think you should just create a new be it therefore resolved clause saying be it further resolved that the assembly rejects following
recommendations. Okay, so are you making a formal amendment?
So I'm not sure exactly what I want to do. I think it is something that we need to do. If you want to look at the context, what is that? What is the
but you?
You want that? I think we're arguing just now.
I
since we've done with this, we just have to assume, no, assuming that it's passing.
I'm going to speak.
No.
So we just had to get further resolved.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right.
And
those that return,
okay. How about
I offered that I'm going to amend to.
How about we table it for next week? All right. Maybe we do.
Oh, shit. I'll go get dinner.
Are we going or not?
Yes.
Thank you.
No, he is coming.
I'm grabbing it.
You're grabbing it.
Not at all.
What I'm saying right now is
the fucking
that you have
whether or not they're useful in their situation, right?
Rules
outside of the guidelines is still something that is valuable. And in my opinion, what is happening now is not whether or not they're valuable, it's whether or not they're solution. And that is not beneficial.
That's not true, though. That's what those
people who came out the door.
So I know what you're saying was we just overturned
everything.
Yeah,
that's what
you're saying.
That's a charitable
problem. No, if they appeal to us, then we give them a chance. That's what I'm saying. But we don't fund them.
And,
like, in my experience, we fund far less than they would.
I don't
shock
them. I'm saying what happens for people with. I think that's one of the
kind of it's valuable enough that they made it here that we listen to them. Fine, but we're not going to go and turn everyone who comes here. But if they tell us that they have a price quote, that they remembered everything else, that they put in their application, or they have a MapQuest thing, and they put everything in their application, they just put that in a document that they have now, then yeah, I want to
call
them.
Why?
You have your kids.
Right.
I think
spare path line around the end of the semester.
I ended up forgetting the recorder. Oh my God.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.